Father, this morning we come to you. We come to you in that almighty and the most precious name of Jesus, Yeshua, the first promise in the new covenant. You shall name him Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. We come to you in that name. We bless that holy name. And we pray, Father, speak to us. Your word is forever settled in the heavens. And I pray, Father, each day, that same word will continue settling in our hearts, framing our thinking, establishing our ways. For heaven and earth will pass away, not a dot from your word. Your word says the word of God has the power to work in those who believe. So by we put away doubt and fear, worry, anxiety, even human reasoning. And I pray faith will arise of God in each one. Faith. Because when the Son of Man comes, all he looks for is who believes. Even when you preached 2,000 years ago, every place you only looked and commended only one thing. That was faith. And you do not change. Even this morning, you are looking for those who believe. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you. You have given us all a measure of faith. I pray we will exercise that faith. To that end, we come at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Before we go back to where we are, the series we are looking, okay, there are a few questions that keep coming. It's about the new covenant reality. One of the new covenant realities is people have questions about how is it in the new covenant about sin and iniquity. And the new covenant reality about Christians, demons, and deliverance. Okay, new covenant realities. Because we need to be very clear about it so that we understand. So we will deal with that for some time. Then we will recap. We go to 1 John chapter 2. Verses 12 to 14, okay? I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Okay? In these three verses, there are three groups of people who are addressed. They are called little children, the youth, the young, and the fathers. Now, this is not talking about physical age, because little children don't read. It's not about physical age. It is talking about spiritual reality of people who have entered, are in the kingdom. And the struggle is here. Okay? We call it, we know. Right now, all the mothers, I didn't see Stanley, so Stanley must have been pulled back by his little one. Okay? And Mose has to lose some weight by carrying his daughter. Mose, okay? You have to, okay? Okay, all the fathers, you know, and the mothers, you know, by the time they have grown to a couple of years, the first transition has taken place. Till then it is sleepless nights, odd hours, all kinds of things. This transition period from a child to a youth, it's the most difficult. To be honest, very few transit. That's the truth. Okay? So you have to keep that in mind. Nobody enters into the kingdom of God as a father. Even if you are physically a father, you enter as a child. When you enter into the kingdom of God as a child, what is ruling is the old man. And that's where the sin, the iniquity works. And that's where the demons oppress. It's very subtle. Demonic oppression is in two forms. One is it's in the physical. Okay, physical, in the body. And the other, more subtle, more powerful, is in the mind. It's in the mind. Okay? So we'll look at this so that you understand where this. I'm not saying Christians are demon possessed, but I'm saying Christians are oppressed. The other word you can use is demonized. Let's go to Jesus. Okay. Matthew 12 verses 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. Remember the person from whom he was cast out? He calls that person my house, my dwelling place. God calls us his house. The demon calls that man his house. Okay? Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now, if you look at it, the issue is in verse 44. Okay? When he came back, the problem is when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Two and three are good. It is swept. It's clean. It's clean. And there is order also. But the problem is the person is empty. The person is empty. The person is empty. And when the person is empty, when the enemy comes back, the person does not have the resources to fight back. First fight. Like Brother Ricky prayed. From Exodus 33 onwards, through the old to the new covenant, it is just coming. Because the word is there inside. You cannot defeat the enemy without the word. Cannot. It's not possible. To defeat the enemy, all you need is the word. But you have to speak it. It is written. It's written. It is written. And the enemy left. That is the shield of faith. If you go to verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. He's looking for dry places. Okay. If you're saturated by the word is compared in the word of God as water. Your spirit is not dry. The Holy Spirit is compared to oil. Your spirit is not dry. It's not dry. If you want to overcome, it's very simple. If you want to overcome, then God has given us the resources. He says, I have given you my word. I've given you my spirit. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The child was born again. Okay? The born again child. The person he knew that was born again of incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. It was born of God. That person is incapable of doing anything other than the nature by which it was born. It is born of the word of God. Incorruptible it is. But the problem is the child is not growing. The child is not growing because the child is not getting fed. The nature of that child is, John will say in John 3 verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. Does not sin. It's not possible for that person in you to sin, for his seed remains in him and he cannot sin. It's not that he will not sin. Cannot sin. That person cannot sin because he's born of God, of incorruptible seed. Why does corruption come? Corruption comes because I was first born of corruptible seed, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That seed, the old man is corruptible, becoming worse and worse and worse and worse if you allow him. But the new person is born of incorruptible seed. He cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. So there are two persons inside. There are two people inside. But until the child transits and becomes a youth in the spiritual realm, sin, iniquity, oppression, it's a reality. It's a reality. It's a reality. Okay. And that's what the word is talking about. What is the word talking about? Okay. But once the word is in, and you know exactly how to react because the Spirit is so. That's why Paul will say in the book of Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit continuously. It's not a one-time thing. It's constantly being filled so that when the attack comes, the Spirit is able to bring the word out and you will react according to the word. When the spirit of oppression comes, you call everybody and make them also oppressed. But what does the word of God says? Put on the garment of praise. Not just praise. You should praise like never before. You are in a strange place. You were trying to witness for you. And they beat you up. They stripped you, beat you up, thrown into your prison. The spirit of depression will come. And what did they do? They sang in the midnight hour. They don't sing. That spirit will take over. The midnight hour, they really sang loudly because all the prisoners heard. These are the weapons of a warfare. This is when a man has become a young man. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 2 verse 13. Yeah, forgive. What do the children know? Children only know forgiveness of sins. How do they know the Father has? Father forgives. That's their only experience. When you go to the next verse, 13. I write to young men because you have overcome the wicked one. So by the time you have transited from child to youth, now you are an overcomer. That's why we are learning. They overcame him. And these are overcomers. They have learned how to overcome. They have overcame him. They have learned how to overcome him. And if you go to the next verse, how did they overcome him? Verse 14 will say, verse 14. Please, Because I have written to you young men because you are, and why are you strong? Because you went to the gym? No, because the word of God abides in you. It's living in you. It's alive in you. The word of God is alive in you. That's why you are strong and you have overcome the wicked one. This is the transitory phase to which you have to go. Man, that comes from actually believing and practicing. And you realize it works. It works. But until you transit from a child to a youth, you'll remain a child. And your struggles will be unceasing. I need to realize so much of scripture is written to children to transit. So much of scripture is written to children to transit. Grow, 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 grow. Because what can you do with a child? Nothing. Why did the children of Israel, the first generation, wander and die in the wilderness? Because they refused to grow. So, how do you know? Because they complained, they grumbled, they were angry, they were upset, they were discouraged, they were depressed, and they fought with everybody. Yet God took care of them. Did they possess anything? No. Did their enemies overcome them? No. They overcame themselves. Their enemies did nothing to them. It was self-defeat. Like if you play in cricket, it's hit wicket. Bowler wasn't even there. He just got themselves out. That's the truth. So if you look at 1 John, okay, series we'll go. 1 John 2:1. Now, 1 John 2:1 onwards, okay, 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you. Who's it written to? You may not. It's not written to the youth. It's written to the little children. Like if I go to Pastor Vijay and say, Pastor Vijay, please read your Bible daily. And what do you mean? But to many people here, I have to tell you, are you reading your Bible daily? Verse 12. I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven. Verse 18. I write to you, little children, it is the putare, putare. What is little children? Policeman is coming. To the youth, you have to tell Christ is coming. To the children, you have to say, Antichrist is coming. The truth. Who's coming? Antichrist is coming. Verse 28. And now, little children, why are you going out? Stay in the church now. To the little children, every Sunday I have to say, come to the front, come to the front, come to the front, come to the front. Others, you don't have to say, as soon as they see a seat, where can they get up and come? Now you are reasoning, just because I sit at the back, does it mean I'm a child? Reason has come.
I hear you.
3:7. Little children, let no one. Why? Because very susceptible to deception. So what do your children? Shh. When you go to school, if anybody gives you toffee, chocolate, don't do it. So we have to tell you, don't watch this, don't watch this, don't watch this, don't watch, don't listen to that, don't listen to that, don't listen to that. Why? You are susceptible. 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Why? Because little children will come and say, Daddy, I love you so much. Why? Daddy brought a chocolate. And the mother says, he didn't do one thing I asked him to do. We all have experience in the house, no? God says, I created you, I know you. Even the last verse in that epistle is to little children. 5:21. Little children, keep yourself from? Like toys are to our little children, or idols to the children in the church. And why is this so important? Because we are looking into eternity. What does eternity say? Galatians 4, 1 to 3. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Who's a slave? He always has to be given instructions. Do this, there, do this, go do this. He's a slave. He's a slave. Though he's a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. What is the time? When he transits into a youth. In verse 3, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. The idols controlled us. Okay. And that's why God is talking about. That's why we need to understand what is actually happening over here. Because you need to understand the world, entire world system is idolatry. It's idolatry. The entire world system is based on idolatry. In 1 Corinthians, the danger of idolatry. We are not talking about physical idols alone. We are talking about anything that you are longing in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to. It says behind every idol there is a demon. Behind every idol, there is a demon. Behind everything that you long in the world, in the pagan world, there is a god. You want money? There is an idol and there is a demon. You want wisdom? There is an idol and there. You want success? You want open ways? For everything, there is a power behind. He says, what are you longing in this world? That's why to the children are told, do not love the world. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, because behind it there are power structures that have been created. 1 John 5:19 will say, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world. And that is why you have to keep reiterating, how is that what you desire is any different than the pagan? That's a simple question you need to ask. But Jesus made a very clear distinction in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, pagans seek after these things, but you have a father. The most important thing about your father is, be careful about his name. You seek his kingdom and you seek his will. So this is where you need to understand, oppression comes. Demonization comes. This is where it comes. Simple question. If you really believe God is my father, and you believe, but God is my father, I never have to worry. All I have to do is seek his kingdom, which means his will. And be right with him. He will take care of me as he has promised in the Bible from the beginning till the end. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Then why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Why are you afraid? That's why he said you need to become like a little child to enter into the kingdom of God, because they are not worried. So idolatry and the world goes together. And the problem is the demons operate. The demons operate. And there are two kinds of demons. There are demons that afflict your body, your flesh. And there are demons which are more subtle and more powerful, which are demons in your mind. That's why the Bible says, bring every thought to the captivity of the obedience of Christ Jesus. And these are more difficult. The pagan Eastern world is full of demons which afflict the body primarily. But the Western world is full of demons that have taken over the mind. The minds have been taken over. So it's not possible even to have a conversation with them. conversation with them. This is where it happens. This is where God is saying transit, 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 transit. And once you have come to that stage as a youth in the kingdom of God, what has happened is you are not only clean, you not only have order, you are full. You have full. They walked with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. And by the time they finished with Jesus, God had brought them discipline into their lives. Because without discipline, you can never be a disciple. The first thing for a disciple is not teaching. It is discipline. Discipline. Taught them discipline. Got them order. And they are clean. John 15:3 says, you are clean because of the word. Then he rose again. For 40 days he filled them with the word. And then he says, wait, it's not enough. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Fill them with the word. And the early church gathered daily for the word he had given them, and it is called the apostles' doctrine. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. This is in the land you belong called the kingdom of God. This is how you function. You read the letters of Paul. Romans, Galatians, Colossians, all. This is how you should live. This is how you should walk. This is how you should talk. This is how you should relate. This is how you should work. Everything is talking to the new man. Grow, 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 grow. Otherwise what will happen? Oppression. And oppression is real for Christians more than for pagans. Because the one who is living in darkness is used to darkness. But the one who God saved, he immediately split into two persons. The other person is one person. He's of corruptible seed. That's what I said. Before I got saved, sin was never a problem. It was never a problem. But once you got saved, you split right in the middle, literally a split, because there is a new man who is of incorruptible seed and this old man which is of corruptible seed, and every day it's a battle. But the question is, are you going to win or is it going to be all your life like the children of Israel? And if it's going to be all your life, yes, God is your father. He loves you, will forgive your sins, he will feed you, will take care of you, but you will possess nothing. It's talking about eternity. Even though he's the master of all, it inherits nothing. Inherits nothing. Because you didn't transit. Now, how do you know who you are? Is your responses. Are you always angry? Are you always upset? Are you always lost? Are you depressed? Well, these are all symptoms. Because when you go to a doctor, immediately he'll ask for the symptoms. What do you feel? You explain all your symptoms. And then you're looking at the symptoms and say, this is your problem. And this is what you need to do. And symptoms are all written over here. And the Bible is full of symptoms. How do you know? How do you know? When this situation comes, how do you react? That's why we study scripture and says, when this situation came, how did you react? When this situation, how did you? Because there is a one way to react and there are contrary ways to react. Because the way to life is very narrow. There's only one way you can react. And that's what the word of God is talking about. And we are doing, like in the Ephesians study, we are doing a diagnosis. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, the first diagnosis is the most important part when you go to a doctor is diagnosis. If he gets his diagnosis wrong, then everything goes wrong. So 2, 1 will say, he made you alive who were? I wasn't bad, I was dead. First acknowledge that before you came to Christ Jesus, you were not bad, I wasn't so bad, I was little, you were dead. I was dead. That's the whole thing. I was dead. I was dead. And he made me alive. And how did I walk? According to the course of this world. What is that? From heaven's point view of everybody who is conformed to the world is actually drifting. Even though you may be absolutely focused. I have my plan. 3 years here, 2 years here, 5 years here. I'll become the CEO of my company. He says, you're drifting. You are drifting. I'm going to do this. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm succeed. Who is that? Solomon. Drifting. You are drifting. That's what the Bible is saying. Drifting. According to who? Prince of the power of the air. And you were disobedient. That's a diagnosis. Dead, drifting, disobedient, debased. If you come to the next verse 3, mind was given over to a debased mind. It's just going down. And going where? To destruction. By nature, I was a child of wrath. By nature, I was a child of wrath. This is the truth. And unless we accept the truth, because Jesus is not in any business of making bad people good. You can never be saved if you say, I was bad, so teach me, I will become good. Jesus is in the business of making dead people alive. That is what resurrection is called. And the problem is, in the church, the person who is listening to these sermons in most cases is the old man who is trying to improve himself without acknowledging that you are dead. That's why Paul says in Romans 6, reckon yourself dead. Because the resurrection power is only for dead people. It's not for those who are alive. It's for the dead people. We are not educating the old man who is of corruptible seed. We are training the new man who is of God, who's incapable of sinning, and he is hungry for the word, because for him the word is his life. For him the word is spirit, because he himself is born of the spirit. And he's looking for liberty, and he knows the word of God is truth, and the truth is what gives him liberty. That's how you read. That's how you diagnose yourself. Otherwise, the oppression is actually real. You're oppressed. And you need to come out of it and say, Lord, let me transit. Help me. It is painful. Transition is painful. If you had your little babies growing up, when you say, do it yourself, you'll say, no, Papa, come and help me. Help me. Then you say, okay, I will help you the first time. I'll help you the second time. Now you start putting your things. Doing your own way, and they hate it. But God says, take responsibility for your own life. Let each man bear his own burdens. Once it has come, you become a youth. Once you become a youth, God will say, you know what? Now you can fight him. You can fight him. You can fight him. That's what brings God joy. That's what brings God joy. And then when the reality of iniquity, because demonization is real, it's real. And the man, the youth, who in whom the word of God is alive, it is rich, it's alive, living, he knows how to react because he has trained himself. That's why the Bible says physical is good, but spiritual exercise is better. He knows how to handle because he has learned through practice. He has learned through practice how to handle him. So for him, the enemy is no longer a problem. He knows, I know how to handle this fellow because God has taught me. And I know how to rely on the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, my job is to deposit the word in, and I am leaning on the Spirit because he said, he will bring to your remembrance whatever you need. Okay. And I'm telling you honestly, chapter divisions and all were given later if you remember it that way. But all you need to know is the word. You don't have to tell Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Jesus didn't say, because there was no chapter 8 or verse 3. He says, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And what happens is, you win the battle. And how do you know you have won the battle? Is the peace of God is always guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That is because peace is the result of war. Peace is the result of war. And your circumstances are irrelevant. Even when I say the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, who is speaking it? Apostle Paul. Where is he sitting? In a prison. A absolutely at rest because he has learned how to fight this battle. Otherwise, we'll be forever casting out demons, coming back, going out, coming back, going out. One cast out, seven came back, and now eight cast out, 16 came in. 16 cast out, 32 came in. What's going on? How long are you going to play this merry-go-round? God says, transit, grow, learn how to fight. Learn how to fight. Can you think about you as a parent? Think. Natural mind, first thing, you are a parent and your son is 26 years old and you are running after him to balance his bicycle. Everybody will laugh at you. Ke pagal ho gaya kya? Nahi, isko abhi bhi nahi aata. Arre, tere bachche kitne upar ho gayi? 26. Arre, 26 mere cycle, tu piche daud rahe? But when you translate, you know, the spiritual pastor doesn't understand what I'm going through. Really? You didn't learn how to bicycle. You didn't learn balance. You didn't learn how to stand. Even the natural, everybody will love. But when they translate into spiritual, okay, that's the children of Israel. Any problem? Moshe! Yeah, what do you want? No, we have no water. Okay. Lord, there is no water. Okay, put it. There is no food. Moshe! Okay, there is food and water. But we want meat. Moshe! 40 years, only one son. Moshe. And finally they found this Moshe will only give what God gives them. He said, we'll get another leader and go back. Let's change the pastor. He preaches too long. We want the Egyptian pastor who will feed us cucumbers, garlic, onions, leeks, and fish, and which he ate so freely when we were in the world. Freely. He will show movies. He will have smoke machines. He will dim the lights so that he can't see we are sleeping. And you look at all these churches and you say, wow, look at the church. You go there, you have to hear the reports I get for people who have gone to this church. Pastor, our Sunday school is better than their church. There's nothing there. Just smoke screens. Nothing. No word. There's nothing there. One of our kids, young kids, once went to one of these churches and by some chance somebody called that kid to stand up and pray. And when they prayed, that kid who never has prayed here stood up and prayed by what has gone into his head. They said, where did you learn to pray like this? Word of God is being deposited in, but it has to come out. If it doesn't come out, it's useless. It has to come out. The power is when it comes out, you react, you speak according, that is what faith is. And when it comes to iniquity, please understand this truth in the Bible. Isaiah 53 is what we are focusing on when it comes to the blood of Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Then you come to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul as an offering for sin. So there are three words. There is sin, there is transgression, and there is iniquity. Now look at this as a line. This is the law. Don't cross that line. If you eat, you will die. So they cross that line. That is called transgression. And as soon as they cross that line, sin came in and they died. But the problem is, after that you are crossing and crossing and crossing and crossing and crossing. Now iniquity is being set in. Iniquity is being set in. And the most powerful iniquity that sets in is that you cross this line and God says, don't do it. And you say, but you know why I did it? Because you favor the other guy. You start justifying yourself. That's what, when God judges Cain, Cain says, your punishment is too much for me. Do you know what is that iniquity where from where it's rising? It is pride. You know, proud people can never be corrected. That's the iniquity that has settled. They cannot be corrected. Because that was the iniquity that was found in Satan in heaven. Iniquity was found in you. What was that iniquity that was found in him? It was pride. Why? I am the smartest, the most good looking, the wisest, perfect in everything. How can I stand here? I should be at least at the level of God. Let me lift myself. That was the iniquity. That is iniquity. That is why God keeps on telling us, first thing you need to do is what? Humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. Learn of me, I am meek and lowly, because otherwise the other iniquity will work, and it doesn't matter. You sit 24 hours and listen to the word, nothing is going to happen, because that is pushing it out. Pushing it out. Pushing it out. He says, humble thyself, humble thyself, humble thyself, humble thyself, humble thyself. Why? Because your old nature's iniquity is pride. And the new man has been birthed in the image of God, and God is lowly. God is humble. And he never says, I will humble you. He says, no, you have to do it yourself. You have to do yourself. Humble thyself, humble thyself, humble thyself, humble thyself. Humble thyself. These are real issues. These are the real issues we are facing, not the issues in the world. Those issues are irrelevant. The real issues are issues of the soul. Because in a twinkling of an eye, all this thing will be over. And then we have to deal with the soul, because the soul is that is going to appear before God. Your body will be left behind. It is soul that will appear before God. And salvation is the salvation of the soul. So when you talk about iniquity, you need to understand what is it, the new covenant and the old covenant, the transition was spoken. It's very easy to remember in Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31, behold, the days are coming, the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. He's prophesying. They did not understand. He was prophesying of the day that would come when the church would be born. The new covenant in his blood, not according to the covenant with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach their neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, their sin I will remember no more. When you reach there, what have you become? You become a youth. Now you need to realize, this is what the writer of Hebrews will quote when he talks about the new covenant. The same verses are quoted. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. What is that? Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be. What is the youth? The word of God lives in them. The Spirit has written, not the letter of the law, the Spirit of the law. The letter of the law kills. The Spirit brings life. The letter of the law kills. There's a letter of the law. What did it mean? What was its intention? The letter of, you understand the intention because you are in the new covenant. The intention of God was not what they interpreted in the old covenant. The intention behind this is to make me like him. That's the intention. He's actually conforming me to his image. This is what he is. This is what you have to be because you're my child. It's very simple. That's the spirit of the law. This letter of the law kills. Why does it kill? Because it only brings outward conformity. There's no inward conformity. Why is the book of Acts the church one? Because they had inward conformity, though outwardly they were not the same. But inward conformity was there. They all realized whose they were, and they all realized we are one body in Christ Jesus. We are all headed in the same direction. There is no room for jealousy or anything over here. We are all going towards, and into that middle came a couple called Ananias and Sapphira, and God took them out. You're messing up the inward conformity here. Though outwardly it looked as they were conforming by bringing money, God says no. They're breaking the inward conformity. They are putting that offering because they want something. The others are putting the offering because they are like me. They are giving. They are giving. That's what God is talking about. And verse 11. None of them shall teach their neighbor, none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and their lawless deeds, that is iniquity, I will remember no more. So what Jeremiah was prophesying about is actually fulfilled in the new covenant. Now you want to talk about sin and iniquity. When Jeremiah talks about it in Jeremiah 31:31, you have to go to 29 and 30. You will see the picture. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, the children's teeth are set on edge. They will no longer say, why? You've been cut off from that. You know why I'm like this? Because my father was like this. He says no. In those days, nobody will have to say, my father bit sour grapes, my teeth are set on the edge. I am like that because my father was like that. He says, I'm cutting it off. Do you believe? That's the key. The children don't believe. So they react like their fathers. By the time you become a youth, you understood God is my father. God is my father. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity, not his father's iniquity. The transition that is taking place. But until that transition takes place, what happens if you remain in the kingdom of as a child? You will face demonic oppression and the power of iniquity will work on you. You cannot be corrected. Nobody correct the children of Israel. I mean, if Moses couldn't correct them, who can correct them? They couldn't be corrected. Because either way, if you are part of that first group that came out of Egypt, if you looked at them, you look at Moses, both ways. If you are looking from the eyes of Egypt, he was taught in all the wisdom of Egypt. He was mighty in words and deed. They know among us he is the only one who's got a degree. My father's little town, when he got his degree, they brought him on an elephant because he was the first one. You need to understand, this is the only dude among them who has got an Egyptian degree. And not only just the Egyptian degree, he's the best among the Egyptians. Then you want to look with the other eye, Israelite eye, he stands before them in the place of God. He speaks, things happen. He lifts his rod, all kinds of things happen. So you want to compare it on both sides. There's no man like Moses, yet they didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to him. Why? Because they never grew. They never grew. And that's the problem with children. The problem with children. And we know we have problems with children. It's like the little boy who was told by his mother, sit down or I will spank you. So he went and sat down and said, even though I'm sitting down, inside I'm standing up. And we know. And God says, that's why, you know, Paul's letters to the Corinthian church, he says, I'm the writer of Hebrews. I really want to teach you so many things, but I cannot teach you because you're all children. Running around with gifts.
I have this gift, I have that gift, I have this gift and this gift and manufacturing all these gifts. But you're all children. It is a Diwali going on. In the Corinthian church, everybody's got sparklers. My ministry, my ministry, my ministry, my ministry, children's ministry. That's the problem. And he says, you're fighting, you're, this one is jealous, that is fighting, and that is gossiping, that is slandering, this. He says, you're all children. Where's the kingdom of God here? Where's the nature of your father here? Okay. This is the truth about iniquity. And the iniquity that stops us from receiving the counsel of God through God's servants is what?
Pride. It's pride. Pride is the biggest stumbling block. God comes and says, Jesus comes and says, forget my teachings and all. First learn of me. You know, I am meek and lowly. So when Martha got very upset, he says, Martha, Martha, your problem is you're worried about too much things. But let me tell you, this one thing about Mary will never be taken away. Never be taken away. She's done one thing. It's not just listening. She sat at my feet. She's humble. Not that she listens. She's humble. Therefore, she hears what I have to say. And our problem is now in this world system. Everything in the world system is feeding into pride. Everything is, it's an idol factory now. Old days it was different, it was not so bad. Now it is with media, everybody is into idol factory. And pride is rising. Who can correct whom? It's impossible. That's the truth. And God says, you know what? Little children, free idols. Otherwise, demonization, the power of iniquity is real. It is true. It is real. So God says, this is how you transit. To transit from a child to a youth. See this, you can have a long drawn out way, or you can have an easy way. Easy but painful, very painful in the beginning. But this is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have all passed away. All things have become new. Just accept this as a positional fact first. Positional fact first. It's a positional fact. You have to receive it in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. I am a new creation. Lord, help me not to think, not to speak, not to love, not to react the old way. Because I'm very familiar with the old way. That's how I grew up. Help me not to. That's the first thing. That's where it begins. So if it is positional, then the functional part is in 5:7. For we walk by faith. Not by sight. Sight is what? That's how the old man walks. The whole world functions. Faith is what? The new man functions. He's a new creation, so he cannot walk by sight. Because he's a new creation, sight is contrary to him because he's born of God. So the new man cannot walk that old way. He needs a new way to walk. How does he walk? He says, you walk by faith. So what is the response of the new man? The response of the new man is first, take control. Romans 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of your body, you, who is this you? New man. Don't let the old man take it over. Because both of them live in the same body. You take over. And that's a struggle. First thing in the morning, the struggle is who will wake up? New man or old man? Old man doesn't want to wake up. And if the old man has to wake up, he has to be given something in the world, otherwise he will not wake up. The new man wakes up when he is offered nothing in the world because he is going to meet his father.
That's the difference. The old man also outwardly will conform to the disciplines which God demands, but his motivation and reason is completely different. That everybody who was late to church this morning will be on time for office tomorrow. Who's going to office tomorrow? New man or old man? Who was late today? That's a difference. Because the old man is always looking, what do I get out of this? What do I get out of this? What do I get out of this? What is there in for me? What is there in for me? What is there in for me? That's how it functions. And you have to realize there is two people in me. And I have to wake up and say, you know what? I am a new creation. And this new creation dwells in this old body. Same body. But if I offer this body to God, then I have the power of God for that body which is offered for God. That's what Romans 8:11 says. The very spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies. Why is the spirit quickening your mortal bodies? If you have doubts, go to bed tonight and ask the Lord, Lord, would you wake me up at 5 in the morning so that I can pray? See your eyes will open. And who opened your eyes up? It was the Spirit of God who quickened your mortal bodies. You don't need an alarm. You don't need an alarm. But if your body has to wake up for the world, you may need an alarm. But it's very lucrative. You won't even sleep. Have you noticed? Pastor Vijay preached last Sunday, right? 72 hours without sleep. Why? To crack an exam? Just driven by not faith, he himself said, fear. I lose the race. It's a rat race. It's up the ladder and everybody's stamping the fellow below. I didn't say that. Shakespeare said it in Julius Caesar. That's what happens. Offer your bodies. Next thing, Romans 12:2, don't conform to the pattern of the world. Don't. The world has its patterns. Don't conform to it. But be transformed. How will you be transformed? Your mind has to change the way you think. That is what we are trying to do. Hammering every Sunday, every day. Literally. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. The kingdom doesn't operate this way. So the new man who is called to live by faith, the new man who is called to walk by faith needs patterns. You and I are not the pioneers. The pioneer's name is Abraham, the first one who was called out. That's why we are dwelling on Abraham. He's the pioneer. The problem with you and me and the pioneer is different. Imagine I am the pioneer. Okay? In case software fails, no? I brought my stick also. You see, the pioneer, think about a pioneer, okay? This is the jungle. And I am the pioneer. I'm cutting and making my own way. Array, I reached here. There's a lake here. Okay. Go this way, this way. But he's made a way. I can't afford to make his mistakes because he's already shown the way. That's why Abraham is forgiven, because he's the pioneer. He can afford to make mistakes because nobody has gone before him. He did not know where he was going. Can you say the same thing about you and me? We know where we are going because we have a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us and telling us, is this your situation? This is the way. Is it about food? Daniel speaks. It's about bowing to the idol? His friends speak. Is it about Potiphar's court? Joseph speaks. It's a whole set of people. If you are fearful, Gideon speaks. If you are anointed and carnal, Samson speaks. You've got a cloud of witnesses who is speaking. So God says, patterns are established. Patterns are established for the new man. That is why Hebrews 11 will give you an entire list.
And when Hebrews 12:1 begins, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. They all have set patterns. What are they teaching us about? How does this new man live by faith? You have a whole set of people. Each one is speaking about something. Abel will speak how to come into the presence of God. We saw last night. How to come in the presence of God. You want to come to the presence of God? You need blood. You need to come to the presence of God? You need to give your firstborn. The first you have to give. You cannot give God second. Then God is second. And God will not speak to you. He already showed you a way. If you want to know how to walk with God, Enoch taught us. If you want to know how to build a house that will save from destruction, Noah taught us. What does Noah told? Build exactly according to the pattern I'm showing you. Don't change it. If you change it, you will drown. And your family will also go down. Don't change. Build your ark according to the pattern. And we told about one minute detail last night. What is that? Inside and outside coated with pitch. Meaning when you want your life not to sink, forgive from the heart and forgive from the mouth. Both. Don't just say, brother, I forgive you, and still hold it for the next 20 years. He says you will sink. Because when you stand before your father to pray, if you hold unforgiveness, he will not hear. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Mark 11:25. Inside and outside. It is irrelevant what they did to you. You are not justifying that. You are releasing yourself. You are releasing yourself. These are patterns set by people. Now, patterns have been set by people, but standard was not set by them. Standard was set in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. Standard was set by him. Why? Abraham was not the author of faith. Jesus was. The faith for Abraham to believe was given by Jesus. He's the author of the faith. And he's the finisher of our faith. Jesus. So we learn from all these patterns, but don't make Abraham your standard. Don't make Isaac your standard. He may have begun well, but he ended badly. Don't make Noah your pattern. He can come through the judgment and then get drunk and fall naked. Lie naked. Don't make him your standard. These are all patterns. Standard is Jesus. The author and the finisher. And what is written about him? He endured the cross. That's why he's my standard. He endured the cross had two things. One, it had shame, and the other thing, it had pain. And he endured it both. Why is it so important to me? Because in Galatians 6:14, the Bible will say, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The whole world lays under the sway of the wicked one. The wicked one has no hold over me. It's because I looked at the standard. He endured the cross. He endured its shame. He endured its pain. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which what happens to me? The world is dead to me. The world is dead to me. It holds no appeal. Holds no appeal. The world is dead. See, your mind cannot be transformed until you are dead to the world. Otherwise you will be conforming to something in the world. That is why it is so important. Because you see, let me put it across this way. Outwardly it will look that we are fighting Satan. 1 Peter 5:9. Stand there steadfast in faith and resist him. We are fighting Satan. Right? James 4:7 will say, submit to God and resist him, he will flee. It looks like we are fighting Satan. In 1 John 5:4 we'll talk about the world. It will say, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So faith is with Satan, faith is with the world. And Romans 14:23 will say, he who doubts while he's eating, he is condemned because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So to overcome sin, what do I need? World, faith, Satan, faith, sin, faith. But what is my battle actually? Now you go to the victorious man in 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. What did I do? The battle was not actually fighting Satan, the world, or sin. It was to stay in faith. That was the battle. Every day to wake up and stay in faith because sight is calling. Come here. Come here. Come here. The battle was always how to stay in faith. And he said, I kept the faith. Demas didn't. He loved the world and he went. He didn't. I kept the faith. I stayed in the faith. That is the whole thing. Every day to wake up, Lord help me to stay in faith. Lord help me to stay in faith. Because faith itself is victory. Against the devil, against sin, against the world, it's victory. Help me to stay in faith. That is what the word is talking about. That's what the Bible is talking about. That's why we need to understand, why is faith so important? First thing about faith, faith pleases God. Faith pleases. What pleases God? It is impossible to please God without faith. The question is, why should faith please God? Why can't sight please God? He did it by faith. It's a sloppy job. I did it by sight. Great job. But God is pleased with him. I broke my back. I broke the cursed fallow ground, watered it, irrigated my, washed over it, took out the weeds, the creepers, and I brought the sacrifice. We look at him, polished, beautiful. Look at it. And this guy just going, and then he takes a lamb, kills it, and brings it, and God says, this is good. And God says, his is good, and mine is not good. I'm so angry, I want to kill that fellow. You know why? Because he made my work look bad. Don't you feel like that in college? You work the whole night, the whole day, the whole week, and when you come to the class, this fellow who never came to class comes and gives the answer. I want to kill that fellow. That's what Cain felt like. See, I basically think about Cain, I'm giving him the benefit of doubt, that his killing of Abel was more of an accident because nobody had killed anybody before that. So probably when he hit him on the head with the rock, he did not know he would die because he did not know what dying is. Don't we tell it to our children? One small one is 5 years or 4 years old, and the other one is 6 months old. Don't do this to the baby. What are you doing? You're covering its face with a pillow. Don't do it. No, I am just playing. Does it know? What can it do? No, it doesn't know. I'm not making excuses, okay? I could be absolutely off wrong about Cain. But the fact is that nobody has died. So what pleases God? Why does faith please God? That is the answer Paul gives in Romans 1:17. In the gospel, what is given, you know, there is a righteousness that is of God. That comes by faith. Revealed from faith to faith. Every time you step out and live by faith, you are declaring God is righteous. Every time you stand by sight, you are declaring, I am righteous. Righteous. I am righteous. Please understand this. God, don't feel bad about it. Okay. If you feel bad, I'll give you my kerchief. It's clean. Okay. God is not moved by your tears. He's moved by faith. I told on Friday, Joshua went against Ai. 36 died. He came, fell on his face, cried, Lord, why did you bring us here? Blah, blah, blah. God said, get up from there. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? I told you four things. First thing, march six times. For 6 days, one time a day. March seven times on the seventh day. Did you do it? Yes. Second thing I said, don't open your mouth. Last day when the final trumpet blows, then shout. Did you do that? Yes. Third thing I told you, bring Rahab and her family out when the walls fall. Did you do that? Yes. Fourth thing, don't take any accursed item from that city. Put it all away into the Lord's treasury. Are you sure about one? Yes. Are you sure about two? Yes. Are you sure about four? Yes. Are you sure about three? I don't know. Maybe somebody took. That's all. Instead of crying, you should have said, we shouldn't have lost. There's no way we could have lost because I have a promise. He said, every place is all of my footprints. I give it to you. God is not a lie, man that should lie. If we lost, the problem is with us, not with him. Ooh, somebody has taken something here. Who took it? Stop crying and take that and go back to victory. And we don't realize the same God often is telling the children, why are you crying? Didn't I tell you in the word, he takes you in triumph every place and everything, every time? Isn't that what I told you? So if you have lost, find out why did you lose. I've said you are more than a conqueror. I promised you victory. I never said defeat. How can you be defeated? My son in you can never be defeated. He's a man of war from old. From generation to generation, he fights. He has never lost a battle. Is he the one who is living in you? If you have lost, it is you, not him. Get back. Revert to your new position. You will win. Stop crying. Now these are hard things, but they are true things. True things. Why are you crying? Okay. Because every time you step forward in faith, it produces, declares, my God is righteous. My God is righteous. My God is righteous. Third thing about faith. Faith appropriates not your wisdom, not your strength, not your power. It appropriates the power of God. Because faith can operate only in God's power. Romans 5, 1 and 2. You by faith, you were justified. 5, 1 and then verse 2. 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you do? Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's why the Bible says he came full of grace. And out of the fullness of his grace, we have received blessing after blessing. To receive grace, I need faith. Faith appropriates the grace of God. That is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You were saved. Ephesians 5, 2, 8 and 9. You were saved by grace, but through faith. I didn't give it, no? Ephesians 5, verse 2, 8 and 9. 5. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. You are by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you are proud of your accomplishment, it was not faith. It was you. But when you get your victory, if your hands automatically and mouth open, say, Lord, thank you, Lord, it was grace. It was grace because you know it was not you. I always, even yesterday I told somebody, I preach in four languages and I make mistakes in all four languages till today. Because I know the one who called me to preach was God, because he knew that I couldn't speak. He knew I couldn't speak. And the fact is still true. Yesterday also, if you listen to my Hindi, I made lots of mistakes. If you listen carefully, I'll make mistakes today also in English.
ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. Honestly, what? You are saved by eloquence? No, you're not saved. You're saved by the power of God. D.L. Moody had no grammar. Is it grammar or no grammar? I will hammer. You see, the problem is we want these polished preachers. And they come from these seminaries and they smell of polish. But most of the people who spoke, you have to believe scripture, the ones he called up with people whom nobody would call for that profession. They may call me for something else, but if ministry was something that is in the world, this is one person they will never call. I'm absolutely, totally unqualified for this work which I am doing. By the standards of the world, I cannot be called. That makes me sure about my call, that the call came from another world, which does not conform to those standards. So it brings, so that you will not boast. This is why faith pleases God. It pleases God. It proclaims the righteousness of God. It appropriates the power of God. And it displays the work of God. So it says a new man walks like that. And each time the new man is walking in that day by day, week by week, month, what is happening? Christ in him is growing. At some point, he crosses the line. He's no longer a child. He's a youth. He's a youth. He has learned to overcome. Then God puts a burden on his shoulder and says, now, you bring the children. You bring the ones outside in. Because you have learned. But if children run the Sunday school, what will be the state of the Sunday school? And how does faith come? Hearing. Hearing from thee. And what is the word of God? Word of God, word of God, word of God. What is the word of God? It is the knowledge of God. The word of God is the knowledge of God. That is what. Don't make this into a religious text. That's the problem. Christians have made this into a religious text. Like the Hindu reads his Gita in the morning. They also read their Bible split into two. Vanity mirror. First Psalm 23 from the Old Testament. Okay, that looks good. Then one portion from a portion that doesn't trouble me. From the New Testament. I am good. You are good. You are okay. I am okay. Thank you, Lord. And we call it devotion. Did you, brother, do your morning devotion? The people in the Bible whom God used were devoted to the God of the Bible. Devoted to the God of the Bible. And most of them did not have a Bible. But they were devoted. Please understand, what is the Bible? It is the knowledge of God. But where is the knowledge of God all in for us? It's in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't know Christ, you cannot know God. Even the angels cannot know God without Christ. They can know God and they will look at God and they cannot see God because he's all covered in darkness and he's light and they cannot approach him and they say, holy, 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 cover their eyes, cover their feet and fly midair, holy, holy, holy. And they look at Christ and says, are he's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He's patient. We never knew that. It's only when we look at his dealings with man, we understand this is who God is. With the angel is God patient. One fellow said, I will lift you, and you will go down. Here we keep on lifting ourselves. God says, I'm not going to do anything. I will wait. 10 times. times they rebelled against God in the wilderness in spite of these spectacular miracles and all the miracles in Egypt. 10 times in the wilderness alone. And then God said, you know what, I'm going to finish you. He said, no, you won't go back. You won't go forward. Just go around, but I'll take care of you. Satan gets even more angry when God deals with this way because he didn't deal with him that way. You need to understand why he hates us so much. Because we are the recipients. You go to Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 we read. No, this is who we were, drifting and all. Then verse 4, it changes. 4 and 5, Ephesians 2, 5. If that is in there, this is my destiny. I'm going through towards destruction, the end of the tunnel, and then, but God, rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, he made us alive. Whew. I was dead. He made me alive. How? By grace I am saved. And he said, you know what? We made him alive. But that's not enough. When you come to verse 6, he says, he's alive. But if I leave him there, he will die. So let's do one thing. Verse 6 says, he raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is your position. Where are you? That is what the youth has learned. Hey, this fellow was fooling me all this time. He fooled me. Because I didn't know where I was. I always thought the devil was above me. Now I realize he's so far below me. He fooled me. He deceived me. He doesn't have any authority over me. Actually, I have all power over him. Not to pinch his ears, but to trample him. Not to poke his ribs, but to trample him. I have power. That's what they realized. This fellow is a loser. And he fooled me. He fooled me. When you transit from one point to the other, you suddenly realize, hey, this is the truth. This is where I am. Now I am seated together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am not yet seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's the day all of heavens is waiting for. Because he who overcomes, as I overcome, you shall sit with me on the throne and reign with me. Now I am seated in Christ, I am not seated with him. To with him I have to earn that position. That's what we are running after. I want to sit with him. All are in him, all are not with him. So the whole of creation is groaning to see the sons of God to be revealed, who will rule forever and ever. Who are the ruling saints? You will never rule. I will never rule. You will never rule if you remain as a child. You will never rule. If you remain as a child, you will never rule. And this is what the Bible is talking about. For that, you know what I need to do? I need to understand the purpose of God. Romans 8:29 is to conform me to the image of his son. That is what I find that now. I'm looking for Christ. Everywhere. The spirit of Christ in Abraham. The spirit of Christ in Isaac in his surrender. The spirit of the flesh when he started eating too much. The spirit. Two spirits walking. Esau I hated. Jacob I loved. You're looking for Christ. Because that's the image. He is the standard. We have many people who have shown us the way. But standard is only one. Standard is only one. The standard is Jesus Christ. The positive standard. It's only one standard. That is Jesus Christ. The Father is trying to conform everyone to the standard of the Son. That's what the Bible is talking about. Are we kidding it? Ephesians 1:22-23. He put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church. Which is his? Simple question.
Everything the Father did post-resurrection is for the church. Put him above everything for the sake of the church. He is the head. We are the body. Can they be separated? But aren't we living separated lives? That is why we are looking at. Because I have to know, who is he? What did he do for me? Because I have to appropriate. Because everything Jesus Christ did is for you and me. He didn't do one thing for himself. Because when he finally finishes, his Father, I finished your work. I brought you glory on earth. Now give me back the glory I had with you from the beginning. So everything I did was for them, for us. So if everything that he did for us, then I need to know, what did he do? What did he do? Because the enemy is after that. 1 John 3:8 says, who is sins of the devil? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose he will destroy the works of the devil. And how did he destroy the works of the devil? And we look at it. It's the symbol that we have before us. He said, I put this before you. This is the new covenant in my blood. The blood speaks his death. The death speaks there is a testament and a testator. Before somebody dies, they write a will. And when they die, the will comes into effect. And there is a person who is the executor of the trust of the will. And the executor of this will, which is the New Testament, which means will, is the Spirit of God. That's why he said, when he comes, he will explain to you what is my will for you. This is the written will. He is the testator. That's the only way to live. There's no other way to live. And that's what we saw in 1 John 2. In 13, the word of God was strong. I write to you little children. Because, okay, no. The next one. 14. 14. Okay. What is that? 2:14. The word of God is strong in them. Why is the word of God strong in them? Because they understood the word of God is the word of a person who never changes. Never changes. He's always the same. He never changes. That's why I can stand on this. Live by faith. Why can I live by faith? Because of the person who spoke. And the youth have discovered it. They've understood the word of God is powerful. It's living. It's abiding. And it comes forth out of their mouth. First manifestation is out of their mouth. That is how we notice David. David is noticed when he opens his mouth for the first time. Everybody is there. Philistines on one side, Israel on one side, everybody trembling, this giant is shouting every day, it's all words. And then he comes and says, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? What did he say? Who's this 9 feet tall giant? He says, no, this guy is not under the covenant. He has no blood covering. We are people of the blood. We have a covenant. How dare you defy the armies of the living God? Do you know who we are? Do you know our identity? Do you know our identity? He's telling, why are you afraid? We are not led by King Saul. We are led by Jehovah Shabbat. He's the captain of the hosts. That's what he marked him out. Because when the word of God lives in you, in any situation, the Spirit of God will bring it forth. Whatever situation, there's not a situation in your life you will face which is not covered by God. It's there. It's all there. That's what we've been looking at. We are learning. The first thing you realize is, whoo, what the man of faith, the Pharisee, measuring his mint leaf,
Karipata, okay, 1 kilo, 100 grams for the treasury. Mint leaf, I like mint, but 100 grams. He is so particular to be righteous under the law. And Jesus comes and says, unless your righteousness exceeds of them and the people are also are you, this man has made life difficult for us.
Let me put an example so you will understand. Unless your math is better than Pastor Vijay's, you will not pass. Everybody's heart sinks to the ground, right? Okay. Heart sank into your stomach, no?
And that is what Pharisee's righteousness was. And Jesus comes and says, I give you the gift of righteousness. So Pastor Vijay comes and looks at his answer paper. He says, 99 out of 100. Are yaar, I lost 100. One mark. And he looks at everybody's paper and says, hey, everybody got 100, 100, 100. How did you all get 100? I know you don't know math. But sir gave us 100. Are you getting it how it works? This is what gives me hope. Even yesterday, I love going to them, the beggars, because this is the lowest. You can't go lower than that. And you can tell them that, you know, fact that is no. I told them, there's nothing different between you and me. Outward we look different. Inside we are the same. Your soul is as precious as mine. And he loves you as much as he loves me. But all you can do is, I challenge you, call upon that name. You won't be on the street for too long. Because the power of the kingdom comes. And you have a proof. There he stands. There he stands. Because righteousness was given to you and me as a gift. I am out of the pressure of law. Pressure of the law. Because we were all under the law. Remember, school, home was law. School was law. College was lawless. Honest. Very true, right? Every crazy movie of Kamal Hassan I saw. 4 theaters in my small town. Even now I can remember Minerva Venus from the West, Venuka Gopal and one more from India. These are the names of the theaters in that small town. Two thast, others tiled. Every movie, double movie I saw. Because college is lawless. We grew up like that. Law, lawless, law, lawless, law, lawless. And somebody comes and offers you a free gift of righteousness nobody wants. What's wrong with you people? You're crazy or what? In the gospel, there is a righteousness that is of God. And it is free. That is what it means. He was circumcised on the 8th day. He who was born of a woman under the law, kept the law, removed the law, and says, anyone who believes in me, you will be declared righteous by Father, because I kept it for you. I took the penalty, kept it for you. You are declared righteous. Woo! What a relief. What a relief. Then how do I live? You live by faith. You live by faith. In the Son of God. You live by faith. But how can I live by faith? Because I said you will free. In Garden of Gethsemane, do you know why you struggle? Because you always are worried. How will I eat? How will I manage? How will? Or you are at peace. You just look at the world like Lot, first a little outside Sodom. Then in Sodom, then go into captivity, then come back into Sodom. Now at the gates of Sodom, I like the world. And your company calls it bugs. I like the bugs. So they made a chocolate also called bug. Along with the bugs, you want this. This is the 2 ways you got in. Right? Nobody is talking about Ambani, Adani. Everybody is talking, how can Elon Musk get 1 trillion? After a point, zero is a zero. What are you going to do with this?
Yet everybody has these dreams. Right? Dreams. So either it is that way, the deceitfulness of wealth, Jesus says, or the cares of this world pulls you down. But you need to realize, I don't have to be pulled there, I don't have to be pulled here, because my will has been set free. My provision is no longer connected to my work. My provision is connected to my Father. And if I find the will of God, seek the will of God, find the will of God, walk in the will of God, it will be added. There is no situation I can face in life where the provision of God cannot meet. Who showed me? The author and the finisher of my faith showed me. Like he's caught in a situation. Suddenly, out of the blue comes. Does he masturbate access? Rhetorical question. Looking for the things and great access. No. Yet for righteousness, let us pay immediately. Peter, you go over there, put first fish, oil in its stomach, enough to pay tax for you and me. How can you pay taxes like that? Because I am in the will of my Father. I surrender to do His will. Behold, in the volume of the book, the Lord, it is written about me. I have come to do your will. It has been set free. My body has been set free. I don't have to. If I am walking in the will of God, why should I carry infirmity? How does it help? How does infirmity help the body that is serving God? How does sickness help the body that is serving God? So the simple problem is surrender every day and confess. I refuse to carry infirmity, I refuse to carry sickness. Why? Because it is written. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The sickness that came on John from head to toe was brought by Satan, not by God. It was taken out by God. God doesn't bring sickness. He allows. He doesn't bring. But if you are surrendered, why should He allow? So how does it magnify His name? Think on these things. I'm not condemning anybody who's got sickness, but I'm saying you don't have to live with it. You don't have to live with it. The body for the Lord, the Lord for the body. The fourth thing that we saw was the mind. The mind, that's the key. The mind has. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Come, worship team, come, leaders, elders, come. Quickly. Dr. Richard, we'll need you here. Doctor, yeah, the regulars, all. Thank you.
We'll sing that one first. God sent his son. He sent his son.
Oh, how I am. Oh, how I am. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great creator became my savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him.
Oh, how I love him.
Oh, how without reluctance, flesh and blood is suffering.
He took the form of man.
He took the form of man.
Revealed the hidden plan.
Revealed the
oh, glorious plan. Mystery.
Oh, glorious mystery. Sacrificed of Calvary.
Yes, and now.
And now I know thou art the great. What condescension, bringing us redemption.
That in the dead of night,
that in the dead
not one faint hope in sight.
Not one faint hope.
God gracious, tender.
God gracious,
laid aside his splendor.
Laid aside his splendor.
Stooping to woo, to win, to save.
Stooping to woo, to win, to save. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, thy all in all. The great creator became my savior, and all God's fullness
last time
dwelt.
How I love him.
Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine. My all in all. The great creator became my savior. And all God's fullness dwelt.
Risen from the dead.
Jesus is risen from the dead.
Jesus.
Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. seated on the throne.
Oh, Jesus is seated on the throne. And Jesus is seated on the throne.
Jesus is coming back again.
Jesus is coming back again. And Jesus is coming back again.
Jesus will reign eternally. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus will reign eternally.
Oh,
Jesus will reign eternally. Jesus will reign eternally.
So sing hallelujah to the Lord. Let's raise our hands and worship Him this morning.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord,
Jesus.
And sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Morning. Remember, you are not just in a fight. The Father has placed us in a race. And as we go with the mindset of an athlete running to win, with the patience of a farmer because it's a long race, with the discipline of a soldier who doesn't get entangled in the affairs of the world with the only intention he wants to please his commanding officer. You are not running for your salvation. You are running for your crown. For the Father has said, he who overcomes inherits all. And I shall be his God and he shall be my son. He said it is finished. And his word is true. It is finished. He said through his servant Peter, it's all given. It is given. It is given. He said through his servant Paul, we are blessed. He said we are blessed. We are not cursed. This morning, Father, we come to you. It's blood washed. Robed in the righteousness of the Father Himself. Shod with sandals of peace. Because we have peace with God. We have peace with God. It has given us a gift. Hope as our helmet, the hope of glory, because the one who promised is faithful. No one is running in vain. A Everyone is running with purpose. We surrender, Father. We just surrender ourselves. We believe. We believe. Therefore we speak. You are for us, not against us. You are with us, for you will never leave us alone. Forever, forever with us. Our enemies are not above us. They are beneath us. They are under our feet. We have been girded with power. We have been given authority to live as sons and daughters of the living God. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Yes, weapons are formed, but they will not prosper. Every lying tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn it. For this is our inheritance as the servants of God. For our righteousness is from God and God alone. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You shall trample upon snakes and scorpions, and they shall by no means harm you. The God of peace shall very soon crush Satan under your feet. But then when we stand before God, we will still sing, Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. It is all yours, O God. It was the glory, the honor, the power, the praise was all yours, O God. So as an act of faith, we lift up holy hands. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name, O God. And we declare in your house, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen, Amen, Amen. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father and the fellowship, the sweet, comforting fellowship of the Holy Spirit be each one of our portion now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.